19 this morning. 1 Kings chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came into Beersheba, which belongeth unto Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, It is enough now. O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. But after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the blessings, O Lord, so many today that, Lord, that we as a blessed people, a blessed nation, Lord, we should just take the whole day just thanking the Lord and praising the Lord. But, Father, even thankfulness is like many other things in our spiritual life unless God moves upon our heart. Lord, that we do it in the flesh. And, Lord, we need to be thankful in the Spirit and thankful, Lord, for what God has done. For whatever we do, we need to, Lord, be led of the Holy Spirit to do it. As the Bible said, we are, as children of God, we are led of the Holy Spirit. But, Father, I pray today that you would help us this morning to realize, Lord, that how blessed we are. We pray for others today that, Lord, in other parts of the country today, the world today, Lord, that we're just astounded at, Lord, what half the world's going through and what the other half's enjoying. And we don't understand it all, Lord, but we know that we can't, Lord, have any say as to where we are. You purposed us to be born here and to be here. And we know, Lord, that one of these days at what other places are experiencing, we may experience here. But, Lord, we ask today that you would just bless this service and help me to preach this message today that I know that you gave me and put upon my heart through prayer and reading the Word of God. And I thank you for the one that was saved already today. And I pray for those others that might be here today that they might be saved before this service is over. And, Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Most generally, when we look at this text that we've all that have been around church very much or been in preaching very much, we've all heard many times this text expounded. It is a wonderful text and a wonderful place to preach, especially expository verse by verse through here. And often when we read this chapter, we often focus upon the prophet Elijah. How that in this chapter we understand that he was greatly discouraged. And if a preacher was going to preach about discouragement many times, this is where he'll wind up at, is in this chapter here, because verse 4 lets us know that Elijah was discouraged. But not only that, we understand that he was so discouraged that the Bible tells us here in that latter part of verse 4 that he desired to die. He said, "Lord, I don't even want to live. It's enough. I've been through enough, and I'm just ready to die." So he's greatly discouraged, and his desire was that he might just die. And then we could talk about how that he was so disillusioned. He looked out and he said, "Lord, I'm the only one. There's nobody but me. I'm the only one that's doing anything for God." And the Lord said, "Well, Elijah, I've got 7,000 that have not yet bowed their knee to Baal." And so God had a remnant there, as he always does. But it's none of those things that I want to preach about this morning. But my text is found lying in verse 11 there, where the Bible tells us there that there was a wind that rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks. And the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And so we read here where that God sent an earthquake. And the Bible says here that God was not in the earthquake. And I want to preach this morning about some earthquakes that God was in. Some earthquakes that God was in. Because earthquakes are nothing new. We've been watching the news and we have seen the devastation and the destruction over in Japan, where the earthquake that now has been moved up to about a 9 on the Richter scale, and one of the largest earthquakes ever in that area. But we understand that earthquakes are nothing new. They're all through the Bible, and they're prophesied to be more of them in the last days, and even all the way to the end of the Bible, it talks about earthquakes. And I just want to pull out some of them this morning, and I want to preach to you about those earthquakes that God was in. We sung several songs this morning about Calvary and how that the Lord Jesus, that He suffered and bled and died for us on the cross of Calvary. Over in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 27 there, when we read the details and the accounts of when the Lord died in verse 45, the Bible said, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood there when they heard that said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran, took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put a reed on it and gave him to drink. And the rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And so we read here that when our Lord died, the Bible said from the sixth hour, the Bible said until the ninth hour, that the Lord hung there in the darkness, he said. When we think about that darkness, it speaks to us about his about separation. It speaks to us about his suffering on the cross. And finally, the hour that when his spirit was dismissed. But at that moment, there was some things that were witnessed that morning, that moment when the earth did quake. And when we looked there at Calvary, and we see that as the Lord died, and as the Lord dismissed his spirit, the Bible said that the earth did quake, that God sent an earthquake. And I might just say right here, that when he died, the earth quaked. But the Bible said in chapter 28 that when he rose from the dead, the Bible said the angel rolled away the stone and the earth did quake. And so when our Lord did die, it was earth shaking. Can I tell you that when he rose from the dead, it was earth shaking. Amen. I want you to know that the gospel this morning is still earth-shaking. Amen. This morning. But I believe that God sent that earthquake there at Calvary. And God sent that earthquake as a witness. God did. When we look at this, there's several things mentioned in the text. And I'm not going to develop all of them. I'm just going to mention a few of them. But the Bible said that when he died, the Bible said there was a witness over there in the tabernacle. For you see, there was a curtain that hung. The Bible said there was a curtain that was hung there that was called the Holy of Holies, the Bible said. And only the high priest, and this was a high day when Christ died, and only the high priest, Caiaphas, would go in there into the Holy of Holies, and he would go in there and he would make the offering, and he alone was allowed to go behind the Holy of Holies. Not just anybody could go in there. If anybody else went in there, God would have struck them dead. And even if that priest went in there and he hadn't fully prepared himself to every detail that God had said, even God would have struck him down. One writer said that when Christ died, it was a high priest day. And it's very likely that Caiaphas was getting ready to go behind that veil at the very moment that Christ died. I don't know if that were true or not. I know it could be possible. But he said, can you imagine him getting ready to go in behind that veil? And all at once he hears something tearing and ripping. And all the way from the top of that thing, all the way down to the bottom of that thing, God rips the veil apart. Amen. That signifying his flesh that had been ripped and torn on the cross of Calvary by nails and swords and the slaps and the jeers of men. But on the cross, the veil of his flesh torn, thereby making a new, thank God, and a living way. Amen. So that now that we're all priests of God now, if we're saved, the Bible said he hath made us all priests and kings, the Bible said. And so now I can come boldly into the throne room of grace. We saw some women this morning approaching the throne. I hope this morning when you got up, you approached the throne this morning. But thank God that we can come boldly into the throne room of grace. But whether that priest was standing there or not, when they went back in the temple, there was the witness of that curtain that was torn from top down unto the bottom. You say from the top to the bottom? Yes, because that thing was many feet high. And if he tore it from the bottom up, they might have said that man done it. But he tore it from the top down because only God could do that. They said that veil was as thick as the palm of a large man's hand. And it's been said that many teams of oxen, hooked one to each side, could not tear that veil in two. But the day Christ died, there was a power from above that was greater than oxen, that was greater than men. And that power was the power of God. Amen. As a witness down there at the temple. But then the Bible said in verse 52 that when Christ died, that the earth quaked, the Bible said, and the rocks were rent, the Bible said, and it said many that slept in the graves, they arose and went into the city after Christ arose. But I want you to understand that the graves back then, many of them were not like the graves today. They were like where Jesus was buried and big stones rolled in front of them. But the earth quaked and the stones were moved out of the way. They wasn't moved out so that those saints could get out. They were moved out so that the witnesses could get in and see that they were gone. It's like Jesus when he rose from the dead. That angel didn't roll that stone away so Jesus could get out. He rolled that stone away so that the disciples could get in and see the place where he had laid. Amen. And so there's a witness down there at the cemetery and in the graveyard because of the earthquake. But then we see here, the Bible said in verse 54, now when the centurion and they that were with him saw the earthquake, they feared greatly, the Bible said. Well, can I tell you this morning, that I'll bet you over there where that earthquake took place this last week, I bet you over there they feared, no doubt about that. Amen. They feared greatly. I've had several people tell me this week, they say, "Brother Rick, did you see that thing on the television over there in Japan?" And they said, "That scared me. That made me afraid." Can I tell you, the power of God ought to make us afraid. Amen. When we see what God can do. Brother Rhonda was telling last night in our prayer meeting that they were talking to one of the leading officials over there, and by his own mouth and words, he said, "Well," he said, "it's a punishment." He said, "It's a punishment sent upon us." That's what he thought. I don't know about that, but I do know this, that God does punish. Amen. God does chasten. God does allow things to come into our life, into our nation, into our home, into our city. God does things like that. Amen. And so there was a witness there of the mighty power of God. The Bible said that there was darkness from the sixth hour until the ninth hour. There was darkness. You say, "Well, why the darkness?" Well, number one, he's on the cross and he's dying for sin. And sin is always dark. Amen. Sin is always black. And so it's a picture of the darkness of sin. Amen. But then it turned dark. It was a protection. You say, "Why? God wasn't going to let them stand there and gaze any longer upon His naked Son hanging on the cross and dying for the sins of the world." And so God turned out the lights. Amen. And so we see that there was a witness that day when the earth did quake, that earthquake was a witness that Christ had died and that He had died for sin, and also a witness of the power of God. Amen. That God has power and God can do things in the heavens and God can do things in the earth. Amen. And so we understand today that there is power with God. We understand that God sends things like that into the earth, and many times it's a witness of the power of God. The Bible said that centurion feared, and he said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." The Bible said that many that were there feared. Can I tell you, sometimes it takes events like an earthquake to make people stop and to make people once again begin to fear God. Amen. Me and my wife was talking yesterday evening, and she said, "I tell you," she said, "I fear the Lord. I'm afraid of the Lord." I said, "Well, that's good. We're supposed to fear the Lord. We're supposed to be afraid of the Lord." Amen. You say, "Well, He's our Father." I know it. But we're still to fear Him with a holy, reverent, godly fear. You say, "Why are we to fear Him?" Because I tell you why I feared my father was because he was bigger than me. He was more powerful than me. And I was afraid what he might do if he wanted to do it. Amen. And so we ought to fear God this morning because God is greater than us. God is bigger than us. And God can do whatever He wants to do. Amen. Because He is God. So there was an earthquake at Calvary. The earth did shake. And then the Bible says over in Acts 16, we have that story there where that Paul and Silas have went down to Philippi. They've been preaching. Some people think that preaching doesn't do any good. But the Bible said it pleased God by the foolishness, not foolish preaching, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed, the Bible said. And so we understand that Paul was down there preaching. And when you're really preaching and really doing the works of the Lord, there's always some devils going to pop up somewhere. Amen. So Paul, he took care of that as a lady kept following him around and saying, "You're the Most High God. You're the Most High God." And Paul got tired of that. He didn't want her bragging on him as a servant of the Most High God. And Paul stopped. And Paul said, "The Lord rebuked thee." And when he did, them devils come out of her. She could no longer prophesy or tell what was going on. And that made some people mad. You know, sometimes people get mad when people get saved. You wouldn't think that. But boy, sometimes when some people have went home and said, I got saved today, it makes some people mad. Sometimes it makes people mad because they're not saved. And they think, oh no, they're going to start in on me now and try to get me saved. Sometimes it makes people mad because they didn't get saved at their church. Oh, you didn't get saved over at our church, you couldn't be saved. God can save at anybody's church He wants to. And He can save even outside of a church if He wants to, because He's God. Amen. You say, well, where do people get saved at? Wherever they repent and call upon the name of the Lord, out of a sincere heart under godly sorrow, and God will save them. Amen. God saved somebody, according to the report, up into the Sunday school class this morning. He can do whatever He wants to. Amen. We've had them saved on the bus. We've had them saved at Sunday school. We've had them saved on Wednesday night. We've had them saved on Sunday morning, Sunday night. We've had them saved at home. We've had them saved in revivals. God can save wherever God wants to save. But people get upset, you know. Somebody's always upset about something. People get upset and they leave the church. And then they start running the church down. And they start talking about the church. I don't know why it is when people go out and get in sin and get out of church, they blame the church for their sin. The church doesn't make you sin. We preach against sin. The church warns us of sin. Amen. But I'll tell you something I wouldn't want to be guilty of. I wouldn't want to be guilty of trying to get people out of church. If I get out, I'm just out. But I don't want to get everybody else out with me. Amen. I don't want to one day answer to God and Him and say, I'll tell you what, boy, you got X amount of people out of church and you got to answer for that today. Oh, no, I want to be guilty of getting people in, not getting people out. Amen. Listen, if you get mad at this preacher, get mad at this church, I tell you what you need to do. You need to get right with God. And you need to get on an altar somewhere. Get your heart right with the Lord. Come to whoever it is you're upset with. Make peace with them. And then if you want to go somewhere else, go somewhere else. With the blessings of God on it. Amen. That's what we ought to do. But I know people today by the bukus that are out of church. Some of them 30 years ago still ain't got in church. Some of them 20 years ago still ain't got in church. Listen, I'm telling you this morning, that God forgives preaching to save people, and He saves people that they might serve the Lord. But they got mad at Paul. And the Bible said they had him arrested and had him put in prison, him and Silas. But the Bible said in verse 25, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Doesn't take long, does it? You know, it's been a few times. A few years ago, we had a little quake around here. And you know, it's just all at once, everything starts shaking a little bit. And most of the time, even if they're big ones, most of the time, they don't last very long. It's a sudden thing. And the Bible said, and suddenly there was an earthquake, and so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosened. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. So here was an earthquake. The Bible said that this earthquake, that it took place in the midnight hour. You know what people are usually doing in the midnight hour? Sleep. Amen. But the Bible said God sent it at midnight. Why did God send an earthquake at midnight? Well, this first earthquake was a witness as to Christ dying on the cross. But this earthquake, that God was in it. And this earthquake was to wake some people up. You know what? I don't know what it's going to take to wake up people in the world. But I'll tell you what, the alarm's getting louder, isn't it? My, we don't even realize the situation that we're really in today. The earth is quaking. There's wars and rumors of wars. The Middle East is a powder keg. Libya, Yemen, Egypt, Iran, Iraq. All of it's a powder keg like never before. You know what? Many of people in the world today, they don't even realize it. Don't even think about it. Especially here in America, they don't even think about it. But I'll tell you, God sends things to wake the world up and say, I'm God. And you better wake up and you better get right with God. Amen. Amen. Boy, don't let me never be guilty of making you think that because we live in America, we won't ever experience anything like that. Honey, that can happen anywhere. I will tell you, if you've been here on Sunday night, I've been telling you for many weeks, the church is not going to go through the great tribulation. But the church is going to have tribulation. The Bible said we must with much tribulation enter the kingdom. Amen. And there's going to be tribulation and trials and things on every hand. But God sent this earthquake. And you say, what happened when He sent it? Well, it could have been an answer to prayer. Because the Bible said Paul and Silas were praying. And I don't know, they could have been praying, Lord, wake these men up. Lord, we've been trying to preach to them. They won't listen. They won't hear. They beat us. They put us in jail. Lord, just wake them up. It could have been an answer to prayer. Did you know some of the things that are going on in the world that we don't understand could be answers to our prayers? We've been praying that God would humble us. We've been praying that God would wake up the church. We've been praying that God would save sinners. Sinners never get saved until they become afraid of dying and going to hell and they get the fear of God in them. They don't get saved unless there's a fear of God in them. They don't get saved. We've absolutely seen so much that God would have to do something really big to wake us up. Amen. Because we've hit the snooze and rolled over into bed so many times that it's just hard, Brother Stacy, for us to wake up. And I don't know, but it could have been an answer to prayer. The Bible said they were praying. It could have been God's alarm clock to set off an alarm in those prisoners' hearts, in the jailers' hearts. Because the Bible says, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. In other words, that old prison just started shaking. Rolled them probably out of the bed. Shook pretty good and opened up all the doors. It moved some things. They was pretty scared. You say, why? None of them left. They were petrified to move. They just stood still. God could have sent that quake to waken them up as an answer to prayer. God, wake them up. He could have sent that quake to put an alarm in these prisoners' hearts. You know, prisoners. A lot of them are pretty rough. Amen. A lot of them is, you know, they're pretty rough like most all sinners are. But usually, you know, if you get rough enough and they got to lock you up, you're pretty rough. Amen. They can't do nothing with you, so finally they got to lock you up. These were some rough old prisoners. They're not afraid of much. But God's got a way of getting people afraid. Amen. The little sermon on Sunday morning might not shake you up too much. You've heard of hundreds of them, thousands of them. By the way, I was told the men last night, I'm always trying to learn something, and I learned what it takes to make a good sermon. He said, you say something good on the front, you say something good at the end, and you get them together as quick as you can. That's what makes a good sermon. It's not going to be a good sermon. But I'm telling you this morning that God's got a way of making people afraid. I've heard testimonies of men that wasn't afraid of anything. Weightlifters, big old robust men, fighting in the bar, fighting in the street. They wasn't afraid of nothing. But I've heard their testimonies where they stood up and God saved them. And they say, look at me, I wasn't afraid of nothing, but now I'm shaking like a leaf in an autumn wind because I'm standing up here for God and I've got the fear of God in my heart. And I'll tell you what this old world needs. It needs a good, healthy dose of the fear of God put back in our society and in our country. Amen. Yeah. You know, even some of the political leaders are starting to say some things that we never heard them say before. I even heard someone talk about the Lord. In about an hour sitting of a TV show, the man kept talking about the Lord. Someone said, well, maybe this is God. Maybe God is doing these things. Maybe God is trying to wake up the world. If He is, He's doing it for a reason. He's trying to save men. He's trying to get men to come to Him and be saved by the grace of God. God doesn't want to drown people and kill people and devastate people and people suffer. God doesn't want to do that. God wants to save people. The Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Amen. Well, you say, what happened here? Well, that earthquake, it awaked the prison keeper. Verse 27 said, and the keeper of the prison awaking out of his sleep. He didn't just wake the prisoners up. He woke up the prison keeper. And he woke out of his sleep and he come running. And he seen all the prison doors were open. He's thinking they're all gone. They've all got out. Now they're going to kill me. I've let down on my job. Now they're going to kill me. And he's going to kill himself. And the preacher seen him. He said, Paul said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. Nobody's left. Nobody's left, and the Bible said, don't mess it, the Bible said, he came trembling. He's scared to death. He's afraid to leave. I remember on a Wednesday night, Brother Melvin, you remember this. Me and Melvin went out to see an old boy out in the country by the name of Wayne Wilson. We went out there to visit Wayne, tried to talk to him, and there in his, where he lived at that time in a trailer there. We talked to him, tried to witness to him, and didn't seem like we'd done much good. But not long after that, he showed up on a Wednesday night. He came into that Wednesday night service, and he come in, and that night we got to singing and preaching and Wednesday night service there, and the Lord dealing with him, but he left. Everybody else had done left, and I was out there locking up the church door. Me and my wife, one or two others, I was locking up the church. We was fixing to go home, and I heard tires squalling. And I seen this little, I think it's an S10, come sliding back in the church parking lot, and a door opened up, and a man jumped out and come running. I got to get saved. And after he got saved, he said, what'd you come back for? He said, I was afraid to go any farther. I was afraid God'd kill me. I was afraid I'd wreck the truck. I was afraid God'd kill me and I'd go to hell. That's the kind of fear we need. The reality of hell. He So I don't know, Wayne, whatever happened to that guy, he's pastor of a church across town. Amen. I'm telling you this morning that God sends earthquakes to witness of His mighty power. God sends earthquakes to wake up a sleeping world. God's in them. Look over in Revelation 16. Look down at verse 17. By the way, God gave me this message. I started Friday morning studying, trying to work on a message, and I just kind of got frustrated, and I just closed my Bible. I went in there in my bedroom, Paul. I got down on my knees, and I said, God, I can put together a sermon. I've been preaching 30 years. I said, Lord, I can put some scriptures and texts together. I know how to do it, Lord. But I said, if I do it, all it's going to be is a sermon I made. I said, Lord, what we need is a message from God. I said, Lord, I know that You want Your people to be fed on Sunday morning. You say, what happened? Nothing. I got up and left and went my way. But on Friday night, I sat down in my study in my chair. I hadn't been thinking about earthquakes or 1 Kings 19 or Acts 16 or Revelations. I hadn't been thinking about earthquakes. And in about 2 minutes, God gave me this whole message. You say, really? Really? That's the way God works. You read yourself full of the Word of God. You pray yourself full of the Spirit of God. And then when God gets ready to give you a message, He can put it all together. Amen. Amen. Revelation 16. Almost the end of the book. Verse 17. And the seventh angel, that's the last one. The seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. I heard a voice on the cross saying, it is finished. It was Jesus. Meaning the plan of salvation was finished. But now He's talking about the wrath of God. He says there were voices and thunder and lightnings, and there was great. There, don't miss it. There was a great earthquake. Such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great that the great city was divided in three parts. And the cities of the nation fell. And great Babylon came into remembrance before God. He gave unto her a cup of the wine, the fierceness of the wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, 75 to 100 pound. And men blasphemed God because the plague of hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. We see the earthquake that God was in. There was a witness. We see an earthquake that God was in to wake people up. But here is a final earthquake, the mother of all earthquakes. And it's not to wake men up. It's not to witness to man. But it is the wrath of God poured out upon this earth. God has tried for 2,000 years to witness and preach and pray and wake men up. But soon, God will shake the earth and pour His wrath out upon man. This will be the last earthquake. This will be the last one. And God will show His wrath upon this world. But only after God is waited for thousands of years, preached zillions of sermons. Amen. Published many volumes of the Bible in all languages and sent them out. Radio stations, television stations, internet. God has tried to get the Word of God out. God sent His Word. And great was the number of the people that published it.
Amen. Broadcast and proclaim the Word of God. I said, preacher, I just can't get it together. My life's a mess. Won't you try Joshua 1:8? But the law of this book shall not depart out of your mouth till thou hast done according to all that is written therein, to observe all that is written therein, and then thou shalt make thy way to prosper and have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong, be of courage, be not dismayed. For I, the Lord thy God, am with thee wheresoever thou goest. Amen. You want to have some success? Get in the book. Live the book. Do all that's in the book. God will bless you. Amen. We see here the magnitude of this earthquake. The Bible said it was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth. That's a big earthquake. Amen. That's not in Japan or Chile. That's a worldwide earthquake. An earthquake's worldwide. The Richter scale can't measure it. Because there's never been one this great before since Adam, the first man, was made. This is a great earthquake. This is the magnitude of it. God is pouring out His power upon the Christ-rejecting world. The Bible said it was a great earthquake since it was not since men was upon the earth, the Bible says. And it says that we see here the might of this thing. The might of this earthquake. Amen. They said, well, Japan's got good. They built their buildings. And their earthquake protection, their alarm system, their buildings is second to none in the world. Look at their buildings this morning. Look at their nuclear plant. I tell you something, man can't build anything big enough to keep God out. Man can't plan good enough to keep God from doing whatever God wants to do. Now sometimes it ain't what God wants to do, it's what God has to do. God would much rather send a revival than an earthquake. Sometimes you've got to have an earthquake before you can have a revival. Yeah. Amen. At least that's the way it was in Philippi. The might of it, it said, the cities of the nations fail. Yeah. Lord, every time I go to Louisville, Nashville, Ohio, every time I pull in one of them big parking structures, Lord, get me up to the top quick as you can. There's never any parking places on the bottom, never. Boy, if I got a phobia, it's a fear of an earthquake and that thing smashing me like a bug. Amen. He said the cities felt them. I heard one man say when that happened over in Japan that a man in Louisville, with some kind of a special instrument, that just seconds after it happened, he picked up the vibes or something in Louisville. Just a few seconds after that happened. With a little 9.0 can do that. What do you think one's going to do that's so mighty that it says all the cities of the nations fail. They all fail. And verse 20 said, me and my wife was watching that when that happened. And we're sitting there and I'm in my recliner and she's in hers. They were showing all that, and she says, you know what? So they'll have to remake the globes and the maps and stuff now. I said, what? Crazy. I didn't got it out of my mouth. And the news announcer, the very next words out of his mouth said, and now the maps and the globes will have to be remade. And she said, "Your wife's not as dumb as you think she is." But they said the sea has now occupied and took some of the land back. It'll never be the same again. Amen. Well, here it says every island, not just one, but every island fled away. And the mountains were not found. The might of this thing. But then I'm done here, but I want you to notice this. And this tells the whole story. The manifestation of this earthquake. Look in verse 21. And the Bible says, "And men blaspheme God." You say, "What's that mean, preacher?" That means God's right in what He did. Men's heart is so dark and black and sinful that even after the devastation of something of the magnitude of this, do men pray? Do they fall down? Do they ask God to save them? No, they blaspheme God. They blame God. They curse God. That, my friend, is why we see the things happening we see happening in the world today. Because man is more wicked than we can ever imagine. The wickedness of man's heart. And I'll tell you what, whatever God sends, we deserve it. Amen. Amen. The Lord sent a wind, but God wasn't in the wind. The Lord sent an earthquake, and God wasn't in that earthquake. But God's in the one at Calvary. God was in the one in Acts 16. And God's in this one in Revelation 16. Amen. Well, I just want to just stand up this morning and I just want to say I'm glad that God shook my heart many years ago. And I'm glad I come running and falling and saying, "Lord, I need to be saved." Amen. I'm glad God doesn't have to do anything to shake me up. I'm already shook up. Amen. I've already been shook up. But I'm glad now. Listen, I'm glad now that God's lifted me up out of the miry pit. And He set my feet. He's established my going and set my feet upon a solid rock that won't shake. Amen. Are you on it? Are you saved? Are you where you need to be? Come in here one day. Don't wait till it gets here before you find God. Do some preventative maintenance and find God today. Amen. Lord, I thank You this morning for the message that You gave me through answer prayer. Come out of Your book. And I pray today, Lord, that the message today has been a witness. I pray it's awakened somebody and they might flee today from the wrath that is to come and they might be saved today. Lord, touch us as a nation, as a people, as a church. And get us, Lord, where we need to be with You in these hours when we so desperately need to be on praying ground, interceding terms with God. And Lord, we're going to thank You for what You do here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand today if you would, please. The song leader comes. He's got the song.
130.
Number 130, let's mind God today. Do you need to get in these altars and pray today? Are you saved? Are you going to be one of them the wrath of God falls on? Don't let it be so. Oh. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning while we give the precious Holy Spirit some quiet time here to speak to your heart this morning. If you're here today and you're not saved, I'll tell you something, what I preached about this morning there in Acts 16, that's not the end of the road. That's going to be bad, but I'll tell you what, eternity and what's going to be there is going to be a lot worse. The place God's prepared for the devil and his angels, and if you're lost, you're going to be in there with them. It's a place called hell. It's going to be weeping, gnashing of teeth, outer darkness. Torment, the Bible said smoke of their torment is going to go up forever and ever and ever. It's a terrible place. That's why Jesus died, to save men from having to go to that awful place. I wonder this morning, if you'd lift your hand this morning and say, "Preacher, I'm not saved, and I want you to pray for me." Is there a lost person here in this auditorium today that lift their hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me, I'm not saved"? Young, old, or middle-aged, pray for me, I'm not saved. It does alarm me what's going on in the world. It's even got people that's not even saved, knowing that the time may be short. I wonder today, if you just lift your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me, I'm not saved." Is there one that asked me to pray for him this morning? "Preacher, help me today, I'm not saved." Is there one? You see, these are the times we're living in. Times we're living in. Brother Paul Barnes asked in a Wednesday night prayer meeting not long ago. He said, "Preacher, I want to ask you something." I said, "What is it?" And he said, "Well, we go back here in the prayer room. We pray for lost people." He said, "Preacher, we pray for them at home. We try to talk to them. We try to visit them. Yet we see so few saved." And he said, "Back in the early days, they seen them saved. Back in our parents' days, they seen them saved. What's going on, preacher? Is it our preaching? Is it our praying?" And my answer was this: no. I said, Noah was as good a preacher as Peter was. But the Bible said Noah only seen his family get in the boat. No one would listen. Nobody wanted to get saved. And Peter preached one sermon and 3,000 got in. I don't believe it's because he's a better preacher than Noah. Don't believe it's because he lived closer than Noah. Don't believe it's because he prayed more than Noah. But I believe it's because Noah was on the end of a thing and Peter was on the beginning of a thing. We're on the end of a thing. It don't mean you can't get in, but it means there's not many getting in. And if I was you and I didn't know the Lord, I'd tell you, I'd be afraid. The fear of God be in my heart. And I'd get down to this altar and I'd say, "God save me." I'd be like Wayne Wilson. I'd be afraid to get in that car and go home. I wonder this morning, if you'd just walk down that aisle, get down on your knees, humble yourself before God, and in your own way say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I've made a lot of sins and I need them forgiven now. I need to be saved from the raft of my own sins. Save me today." I believe He'll do it if you'll come that way. Will you come? Lord, please help somebody here today. I'd stay all evening, all day, Lord, if I thought it would do any good. But Lord, I pray today some sinner will be awakened, will be alarmed, will get the witness today, so that they won't go through the raft that is coming someday upon this old world. And I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. As we sing another verse, if you come today, we'll help you. We'll pray with you, do what we can.